It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to What Culture Gaming. My name is Rich and I'm joined by Mr. Owsley Beattie.
Hello, I am Owsley Beattie.
And if it's the two of us together, it can mean only one thing. We're going to talk about PC gaming. I'm going to be doing it every week, every Tuesday. We're going to sit and talk about the things happening within the PC gaming space. And the most recent thing to have happened within the PC gaming space was the PC Gaming Show, which aired on Saturday night. We sat together with a bunch of people in a Discord server, and we watched through the first half of the presentation because it sure was something.
Yeah, I don't know if you can say sit through, but more complained through, because it wasn't that great at all.
It wasn't, and it's a shame because the PC Gaming Show is very much an underrated part of what would be E3 season. It is currently E3 season now. And we've had some fantastic stuff from the PC Gaming Show in the past. We had the Satisfactory reveal a couple of years ago, which, if you don't, in case you don't know, me and Owsley love that game to pieces. Things like Age of Empires 4 got announced there and so on and so forth. But this year, we came in with not very high expectations, and that was probably the best way to go. Now, just following on from Thursday's PlayStation 5 reveal, we'd had one of the best presentations I think we'd ever seen with the PlayStation 5 reveal. There was no fluff, no rubbish. There was like just game. Here's the console. Everything they showed was basically all super interesting. And as much as the PC Gaming Show isn't usually host to like huge reveals, this year felt really bad.
Yeah, they even had gameplay inside the PlayStation event where, like, compared to the Assassin's Creed Valhalla one, where they said, oh, this is a gameplay event as well, but they didn't show any gameplay. It was literally just cinematics.
Yeah.
They even showed, like, a full driving 3-minute section of Gran Turismo 7. And, yeah, it was practically perfect in a way.
We got nothing like that at the PC Gaming Show. If there were any big focuses on a game, it was more just repeating the same footage from the trailer that we'd just seen over and over again and chatting to the developer. And it was like question after question after question. It's like, move on. But the main thing that was the worst part about the PC Gaming Show was how cringy the whole thing was. Imagine E3 in sort of the noughties when things did get very cringe. I think there's a Konami conference where the guy was just a bit crazy, and then you've got just sort of the Nintendo music, Wii Music cringy sort of approach. That was very much present throughout the PC Gaming Show this year, and it's just unnecessary. As said, we've seen how good these presentations could be when they just take away the fluff and go, boom, here's your games. The PC Gaming Show, out of probably everything we'd seen, even with the Xbox Series X gameplay reveal a couple of weeks ago, they're still subscribing to that old approach of doing game conferences. And it's like, this is so outdated. Please stop.
Yeah. I wouldn't say like the two presenters weren't bad. I say that they're absolutely fine. It's just the style, the delivery of it. And also like bringing on that stupid robot for comedy relief. Like, it just didn't need to be there at all. Just show the games and that's all you need to do. Like, let the games talk for themselves. Maybe have a developer interview here and there, but not longer than like 2 minutes or three or something.
Yeah.
But for something like Icarus, we got like a whole 10-minute interview of someone who hasn't really made a good name for himself in the industry.
No.
Because of DayZ.
We will get on to Icarus, but now we've got the sort of like, oh, that was the whole approach to the PC gaming show was a bit archaic. Please change that up for next year. Let's actually talk about the games that we saw. So similar to a couple of years ago that Satisfactory launched the PC gaming show, this time we got Valheim, which is a Coffee Stain published game. It's not developed by them, but it's this like, what would you say it is? It's kind of like an RPG.
Yeah.
Hack and slash thing.
It sort of reminded me of this game called Banished. And Banished is a game where you have, you start off in like this medieval town and then you build up that town and progress it. So you like gather wood, gather materials and stuff like that. The only thing that it doesn't have is like player versus environment stuff. So you've got characters in Valheim like attacking other stuff. I didn't really look too much into it, but it really reminded me of that. But overall, it just looked like a mobile game, really, didn't it?
Yeah, survival games are very apparent at the PC gaming show this year, which we will get to with Icarus. But the main takeaway for me for Valheim is it looks pretty bad. Like, going for low-poly stuff, going for pixelated graphics in a game, it's not exactly anything new, and there's actually quite a lot of that approach at the PC gaming show this year. But Valheim tried to blend low-poly and pixel, and rather than looking heavily stylized, it looks heavily aged. It looks like a PS1 game with bad graphics or like a really early 3D game on PC. And annoyingly, it doesn't look nice. And like, we've both played really good looking, like retro styled games, you know, separating the art from the artist, something like Iron Fury has fantastic pixel art. Something like Strafe, which is like a Quake roguelike I've played, again, go for low poly sort of Quake style. Graphics look fantastic, but Valheim have attempted to do something along those lines, but have completely missed the mark. And it's a real shame, but it looks like indie dev jank, but not necessarily in the animation department, just in the art style department.
Yeah, and I think that genre overall has kind of been done a bit too many times. Like, you've got this Viking survival game where you've got to craft armor, and the only way to do that is bash a hammer on the anvil like that.
Yeah, but yeah, there was a ton of that. So, but then following Valheim, we got an absolutely mental trailer, sort of reminiscent of Bugsnax from the Xbox reveal. Sorry, the PlayStation reveal, called Ooblets, and it's like it looks like Animal Crossing meets Farmville meets Dance Battles. And I have no bloody clue what is going on in this trailer, but I absolutely love it, and I want to play it right now. But it was one of those like quirky trailers that devs do to try and make their game stand out, but they've actually managed to pull it off. When you've got something like, I don't know, Rage 2 getting Andrew WK in to make it all edgy and cool, and it just doesn't work, we'll get to more of that. Like, there was so much variety in how things were presented across this this presentation on Saturday. But Ooblets is one of the things that's actually stuck out as being, this looks ridiculous. I have no idea what's going on. I must have it.
Yeah, it didn't really have any gameplay in the trailer, and it's kind of like, I think it like needs to be one of those games that you need to see what it's doing, because at the moment it just looks really funny. I'd like to see more of it in the future.
It's not too long till it comes out. It's coming out in the summer, apparently. On Epic, unfortunately, but hopefully we'll see more of that. But onto something that was released like there and then, and I'm pretty certain it was this that got Sean saying, oh, that's exactly what I want to hear on the PC gaming show, is that it's launching right now, and that's Torchlight 3. I've never played Torchlight. Have you?
Yeah, I have played Torchlight 1 for 4 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And Torchlight 2 for about a good 3-4 hours.
Okay.
The main issue that I had with Torchlight was that it just felt like a cartoony Diablo 3 clone. Probably not a clone, because that might upset a lot of people. Because I'm not really into that sort of... I'm not really into Torchlight, but I'm into Diablo 3 quite a lot. It just felt so much similar to Diablo 3 in a way. Now, I had a quick look at Torchlight 3 when it came out on Steam just a second ago, and it's got mostly negative reviews due to it being in early access, the servers being absolute crap, and it's just not going great at the moment.
for a third sequel, I wouldn't expect it to be released into early access. I think that's a discussion to have at some future point, but like, should sequels be given early access treatment if they've got the groundwork to build from with the original game? Unless it's a game going to a different developer, should it be given an early access platform? Because like you said, the early access approach, like, it seemed like when they were saying it on the PC Gaming Show, the fact that it's an early access game being put into a sequel being put into early access, it just sounds really strange. Like, any AAA game that gives you like beta access for a sequel game just seems odd, in my opinion. Why give them early access to it? It's a sequel. You should know what to do, what not to do, and you not necessarily fix the kinks after you've released it, but it's like, it shouldn't be in a position where it needs to be in early access if it's a sequel. And that's
yeah. There was even a review on Steam which said they had it in alpha for about a year or so, and they apparently weren't even listened to. Like, the developers just fobbed off anything they said and just released it as it is now. And people are pretty frustrated by that, really. Wow.
But more reviews had said that it's more like a mobile game and it's very watered down. I mean, I've heard so much about Torchlight. I see it all the time on Steam, and I just assumed it was like pretty, like, got a pretty established fan base. And I don't know why they keep making sequels if they could just keep potentially adding to the same game. Like, could Torchlight 3 have just been a Torchlight 2 expansion, or just taken everything they're doing new? Because then they were talking about new classes and you could be a steampunk robot or something. And like, why not just add that to Torchlight 2 instead of churning out a new game? But again, Steam early access money, because it was still, what, $30, 30 quid?
Oh, it's £23.79. Yeah. So way too much, especially for an early access title of that caliber as well.
And that's a shame. But Torchlight 3 has not exactly gone too well. But moving on to something that has been going well for many years now, and that's Elite Dangerous. Something that, as much as I'm a big Frontier fanboy, I've not played Elite Dangerous because it's not a park sim. but Elite Dangerous have released, they've announced a new expansion, new season, whatever thing for Elite, called Odyssey, where you can now get out of your ship when you land on a planet and roam about on the surface of said planet, I'm assuming in first person. And this is going to turn Elite, which is already a very, very popular game still now, into even more of like a No Man's Sky style thing. Now, you've played more Elite than me, Oz. Is that going to be a good thing for the game?
I don't know, because, I mean, they've been bringing out a lot of changes to the game with these expansion passes and DLC. Like with Horizons, which I think was their last one, they gave you the ability to land on planets and explore them on buggies, I think. And yeah, so I don't know if like bringing yourself onto these planets are going to change the way that it kind of like plays, really. I mean, it's exciting for the fan base. I'm not really into it now because it's I've played about 66 hours, and the entire time I was just like ferrying cargo from one star system to another, and it just got really repetitive and really boring. The combat though is really, really good if you get your head around it. It takes quite a while to understand it, especially on like a controller, like a PS4 controller or something. But I reckon if you had like a attachment, what are they called, like joysticks,
flight sticks,
and I reckon like giving that a go and just using it for Elite Dangerous is the way to go, really. Because I've got a friend who plays it in VR and also plays it with a joystick. Like, he's got a Velcro thing on his chair, and he gets to like just reattach it and attach it, and he loves it quite a lot. I can't stand it in VR at all, but he loves it.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
I mean, if the majority of Elite Dangerous is built around like space traversal, space combat, then this whole thing will supposedly only take up a small portion of the gameplay that you get from Elite. But if they manage to expand it enough into becoming like more, feeling more like a No Man's Sky, then that's going to be really good, especially since it's already got a very established player base. And it's not like people have been, I mean, I can't speak for the Elite community, but it's never been apparent to me who sort of sidelines on Elite because I'm such a big Frontier person, that they've been clamoring for something like this. They're just adding this in as like, okay, here's something completely like new. Here is more for you if you're continuing to play Elite. Here's something different. We're not just going to add in new ship parts or new areas to explore. Literally, we're going to give you access to the planets that you've wanted to walk about before. Here's that. So I think that's slated for, I want to say 2021.
Yeah, early 2021 they had on their trailer.
Oh, nice. That's really cool. Like, I need to give Elite a try. I do have it on Steam. I got it very cheap on a sale, and I should install it and give it a try just to see if that kind of space sim does interest me, because I've always looked at those games and thought this looks kind of cool, but I'm always very skeptical as to whether I would load in and be like, okay, I hate this. It's kind of why I've never tried No Man's Sky, because I'm not sure whether space flight combat stuff is something that would interest me. It's why I've looked at Star Wars Squadrons and gone, eh, I don't know. But that's exciting for Elite people, and we knew that Frontier were there, and I was kind of hoping we'd see, I don't know, more Planet Zoo, Planet Coaster DLC, but that's just me. I should have realised it would be for Elite. Or it could have been the F1 game that Frontier have been contracted to do.
Yeah, could have been
which
that.
Which is really exciting.
Or they could have announced Planet Splash.
Oh, give me Planet Splash. I was going to say Planet Coaster Console Edition, but I'm guessing we'll probably hear more about that once we get the next Xbox Series X presentation, because we only heard about that in November at the XO19 event. But we've heard nothing about Planco Console Edition, and I'm kind of, as much as I'm somebody who's got like 400 hours in Planco PC and I'd never switched to the console version, I'm still intrigued to see where that's going to come. So I hope we might hear about that soon. But next up is something that revealed actually on Steam before, or just as the show started, and it's been teased out for a lot, and Twitter just exploded when it happened, and that was Persona 4 Golden coming to Steam, which is like straight away got into the top sellers. Like, I knew people who were literally buying it as soon as it was there. They bought it. My activity feed was full of people buying Persona 4. That's now finally out on Steam, which is exciting for people who've played Persona games or want to play the Persona games. I've never played them. I've never been that interested in them. And all I really saw was it sparked the debate of whether Persona 4 or Persona 5 is better.
Yeah, I've never played it either. I'm not really interested in that story type. And like, oh, what's the word? Take turns to attack. I can't remember.
Oh, turn-based combat, you mean?
Turn-based combat, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in that sort of game, except for Pokemon, obviously. But I do remember Jules saying that Persona 4 is the best one. So if you trust Jules' judgment on that, then go for it.
That's fair enough. But yeah, we'll just quickly dust over Persona 4. Something I forgot to mention earlier when we were talking about the cringe, I managed to jump past this. Eventually, we got a section of games introduced by a publisher called New Blood. And they basically looked like all the same game. They were all like low poly shooters with just set in different places. And then at the end of it, all the names of the games, they looked like fake games that you'd see in like a TV show, or you see them in Grand Theft Auto, for example. You see Jimmy playing them on his console in his bedroom. It's like if you threw in Bone Storm from The Simpsons into that mix of games they showed off, it wouldn't look out of place at all. But then after that, we had this... like not an interview, it was like a pre-recorded thing with them guessing the CEO of New Blood or something. And he went full on like edgy cringe lord at the audience. Like he was swearing left, right, and center. That was all got censored. And then he was talking, each of these games has got its own website, but they've all got really stupid URLs. And it just added to this edgy, stupid, horrifically cringy approach to publicizing a game, because the games themselves look quite cool. Like when we first saw them, we were like, oh, this looks cool. And then this guy turns up and he says, you can go visit these things on devilmayquake.com, because it's like Devil May Cry meets Quake, Thief with Guns, which explains itself, Gary Loves You, no idea, Dead of Space, okay, not Fortnite.com. I can't believe it's not the Zen
Hexen.
And shootyboom.com. And it's like, dude, shut up. Like, we were all in a Discord voice call watching this event, and all you could hear was us groaning at this guy. So it's like, if you're going to show off some really cool-looking indie games that are all like, I know they've all gone for the same art style, but, you know, low-poly stuff can work, and they did look better than Valheim did earlier on, but don't present them in that way, because it makes me not want to look at them anymore if I'm going to be introduced with that amount of cringe.
Yeah, and especially the editing as well, where he's like slowing down his voice and just... I hate that style of editing so much.
It's
But the games that we've got is Dusk, Medieval, Maximum Action, Unfortunate Spaceman, Faith, Ultra Kill, and Gloomwood.
Ultra Kill and Maximum Action just sound like fake games.
Yeah, especially the logos.
I genuinely thought for a second that when he was showing these off, this was all a piss take. But no, it's not. It's deadly serious. And they just it's not like they've leaned into that to make it like more accessible and more interesting to see. Like they're taking this approach with promoting their games. It just genuinely fell off the whole way through. Like I was trying to chug a bottle of lumpy milk. It was horrible. So yeah, that was the state of that.
I accidentally put lumpy milk in my tea the other day.
Oh no.
but yeah, like from the start, it looked really cool. I even shrieked into like joy just to see like a build type engine game out there, but just like seeing all these different games and it didn't make sense as to what it was. Like was it one game into one thing? Was it just a bundle of games that you get for free? But the main thing is that like Dusk, for example, that's been out since 2018. And Ultra Kill isn't even out yet. It's out in 2020.
Unfortunate Spaceman, I think, literally came out today.
Yeah.
But that was a bit of a mess. Let's very, very quickly talk about Icarus, which we mentioned earlier. So yes. Made by the same guy who did DayZ. And it's just another survival game, except you've got a bit of space stuff in there as well. And we saw like the tiniest amount of footage. We saw janky animations, and the guy was trying to sell this as a new project. And even Sean, who was asking the questions, was kind of like, what's new about this? Like genuinely, what about this is new?
Yeah, and it felt like he was pitching to stockholders more than anything.
Yeah, I played minimal amounts of Rust, and those kind of survival games don't really interest me. But the fact that this guy is just making arguably another DayZ with just a bit with like more like the idea of having like quicker drops onto this planet rather than just being there the whole time and you might run out of oxygen and come back. That seems interesting, but it seems like one extra little quirk to make it different from every other one, which is exactly how Battle Royales got when they got really saturated. It's just, here's our Battle Royale. It's exactly the same except one different thing, and here it is. And this Icarus just looks eh. And like, I've never seen DayZ be considered to be finished or in a good state ever. So the fact that they just moved on to do a new game, it's like, cool. Great. Should we just jump on board with this?
Yeah, so. There's a review out there for DayZ where it says this guy went to college, got married, had a kid and everything like that. And the only thing that DayZ managed to change in between that time was change the Christmas trees and
wow.
the lights.
Cool. Speaking of, we'll very quickly brush over Remnant from the Ashes Subject 2923, which is probably out of everything that was revealed at the show, the one thing I'm most excited for, because I love Remnant from the Ashes. It's fantastic. With the Swamps of Courses DLC come out not long ago, which is only like a little add-on, nothing too major, but this looks to be a full story expansion for Remnant. And just like I said, brushing over it quickly because we're running out of time, if you've not played Remnant, go play it. Dark Souls with Guns, it's absolutely fantastic, and get really hyped for this DLC. Have you finished Remnant Knows? Did you defeat the nightmare at the end? Or?
No. I haven't got anywhere close to it, I think.
Oh, it's just seeing through it.
It's just, oh God, like, I think I do need to get back into it again, because I'm not really into Souls-like games, apart from Sekiro, which I love, but honestly, it's just something about that game that just doesn't appeal to me at all. Oh, I mean, I love that AA game and the fact that they're trying something new to bring it into the industry, but it's just that I just don't enjoy.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But just to wrap things up, we had a couple of bits and pieces that look quite cool. I think it's called Metal Hellsinger, which is the Doom meets like rhythm action game style thing. They showed some more gameplay of it. It does look a little bit janky, and there's one animation that looks very much ripped off from Doom Eternal, which is a bit unfortunate. We had Surgeon Simulator 2 get shown. We've got more Escape from Tarkov, and they wrapped up with the Outlast Trials, which is the new Outlast game, which I haven't played either of them. I have the first one. But I'm yet to play it. Maybe I'm too scared.
I've played about 10 minutes of the first one, and all I thought before I even got to the first monster.
Wow.
It's just that, I think I talked about it in chatty, but basically there's a point where you go inside a library, and there's a jump scare when you open the door, and that's scary. And then you go through this dark library with your camcorder, and then there's a guy on a big spike like that, and he's
he jumps, doesn't he?
Yeah, and that's the worst jump scare I've ever experienced in a game.
Oh,
before.
My word.
And I had to quit that because I'm just... Maybe, yeah, I'm just going to admit it. I'm too pissy scared to even go through horror games.
But there you go. That was our very brief rundown of the PC Gaming Show. Out of everything that was announced at the show on Saturday night, is there anything that you picked up on that you really, really liked? Is there anything about that show that you really, really hated? Please stop adding cringy dialogue into between the games and stop giving dumb developers the chance to swear and make crappy websites. Please stop. But this is something that Ozzy and I are going to be doing every Tuesday, talking about PC gaming. So if you've got any questions or things you want us to cover in future PC gaming podcast things, then please let us know in the comment section down below. Thank you very much for watching and or listening. I've been Rich. You can follow me on Twitter at PickupChangeToe.
I have been Mr. Ozzy B. So you can follow me at NewtNChill.
NewtNChill. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.